Hello, and welcome to another Apogeospatial podcast. My name is Max, and today I wanted to share with you a conversation between our very own Myrna James and our guest Patrick Cozy of Cesium. Cesium has been integral in creating the intersection between geospatial data and computer graphics. Today, Patrick and Myrna discuss Cesium's partnership with NORAD in bringing Santa to life through their work on the Santa Tracker. They also discuss the exciting possibilities that the Unreal Engine present to the GIS community. Let's listen in as they discuss these and more.
This is Myrna James with Apogeospatial Magazine, and I am so happy to be here today with Patrick Cozy with Cesium. I have known about you for years. I remember meeting you at GeoInt many, many years ago. You might have been working at AGI then. Please just introduce yourself to everyone on our podcast.
Hi, Myrna. First, thank you for having me. My name is Patrick Cozy, CEO at Cesium. And you know, my mission and Cesium's mission is to create the intersection of geospatial and computer graphics. And I'm sure that we did meet at GeoInt while we were part of AGI. Yes.
That's awesome. I love the clarity of that intersection between geospatial and computer graphics. It's a really nice way to talk about visualization and to indicate that it's a more complicated than just visualization, right? There's more to it. So that's great. First of all, I want to talk about Santa Tracker because, and your partnership there from the, you know, with AGI, with NORAD, because people really, I think, have finally learned that this is such an amazing tool. You know, it's kind of becoming part of our pop culture, and I really love it. Could you share a little bit about that?
Certainly. Yeah, we love the NORAD Track Santa. Cesium has been involved every year since 2012. And you know, every Christmas Eve, Santa makes his trip around the world, and NORAD tracks his precise location over that day using Santa cams, fighter jets, radar, and satellites in geosynchronous orbit. And then that precise location is transmitted to the Cesium visualization on the web, on NORAD Track Santa website. And 20 million children of all ages from all around the world come and see Santa in 3D with the reindeer, animated snow going throughout the world using Cesium as the base terrain visualization engine.
So you're still involved with that project?
We are. Yeah, every year. We love it.
Oh, that's awesome. Since 2012. So that's almost 10 years. That's really cool. Maybe we'll do a 10-year anniversary celebration next year for Santa Tracker.
Let's do it.
The other really, the thing that comes to mind immediately regarding your legacy is, you know, tracking orbital debris, which is such an important thing for the satellites. And it's increasingly important over time with all these constellations that are going up now for global internet and with SpaceX and OneWeb and other companies. And so I'd love to hear about that. What's the status on that now? I know that ComSoc is involved and that's another AGI spinoff. Yeah, please share more about that tracking orbital debris.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, the earliest use cases for Cesium dating back to 2011 were for aerospace, right? For global scale, high performance, high fidelity visualization. And the ComSpot, the Commercial Space Operations Center, tracking lots of different types of operational and non-operational satellites, including debris. Has used Cesium for the visualization of that. So you see, you know, tens of thousands of objects based on observations and then future propagation. ComSpot is doing all the rocket science that goes into that, and then using Cesium as, again, the web-based time dynamic visualization engine.
So you're still very involved with that as well.
Yeah, Cesium is happy to be used as the vis engine for ComSpot.
So Patrick, before we dive into some specifics around specific products and projects that you're working on, I'd love to get an overview of kind of the traditional business model. I know that you have clients in real estate and engineering and construction, and of course, I'm sure the Department of Defense, you know, they're always the kind of first and ones to pick up on really high-tech geospatial information. What's the overview about of the company?
Yeah, great question. So our mission is to help the world realize the potential of 3D geospatial data. And to do that, we're building an open platform for software developers to build these 3D geospatial enabled applications. We do work with a variety of markets, conservatively about 19 different markets, and you named some of the biggest ones there. A few good examples to bring up is in the construction world. We helped Komatsu build digital twins of the construction site, of the earthworks construction site, where they're moving dirt using bulldozers, excavators, and dump trucks, and trying to understand the progress over time with ultimate vision to create a more safe, efficient, and accurate job site. In the government world, terrain visualization is a really important aspect, as well as training and simulation. And we help do situational awareness, as well as create standards for interoperability in that domain.
That's great. Thank you. I want to ask about open source. If you can back out, like zoom out and pretend that you don't really know much about how open source works, and maybe explain how you have a business model where clients pay for certain things, but then they're using open sourced software. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. Yeah, so I mean, first we selected an open source business model because we believe we're very early in the world of 3D geospatial data, and that the best way to make an impact on the world is to be as open as possible in order to foster community and collaboration and innovation, and just to move the industry forward. So that's why we do open source. And as engineers, we love it. We love the open collaboration. In terms of forming a business around it, there are many different models that you can build around open source. What we've selected is what's called an open core model, where our visualization software and related libraries are free and open source. They're widely used and they're useful on their own. And then we provide optional value-add software in the form of cloud and on-premise services for data pipelines and for curated data that can add value and accelerate your software development, building a 3D geospatial application. So the idea is you build a very large community, and then some subset of that community is potentially interested in your commercial offerings. And then in addition, we end up doing a lot of partnerships, right? A lot is because we've created, such a large community, folks will come to Cesium for the 3D geospatial expertise.
That's great. That's so helpful, I think, just for people to understand how that works. Okay, the next thing I want to ask is another thing that I personally just not been clear on for a long time, and that's what's the difference between data integration, and I know visualization is the output, the product where you can actually see it, obviously, but how much data integration do you do as well? Do you use raw data to pull into your visualizations, or do you rely on other companies to do that piece?
Yes and yes. So the visualization is all about the data, right? In fact, the visualization is a tool to help you understand the data. And what we see is a variety of different types of data, right? Whether it be imagery coming off a satellite, whether it be a photogrammetry model of a city that was derived from photos from a drone, or whether it be a point cloud model derived from a terrestrial LiDAR scanner. So Cesium allows the fusion of these different sets of data, where you might take a global terrain model, put in a local photogrammetry model for a city, and then put a building interior from LiDAR all in one scene. And we do, what we see is the most common and most prominent kind of data integration for 3D. But then an application developer may add a lot more on top of that, where they may add, real-time chip feeds or traffic, or just a variety of, the many types of data that's out there.
So those would be your clients. The app developers would be your clients. who are adding their own proprietary data?
Yeah, sometimes proprietary, and sometimes it may even be open data as well.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. I think that zoomed out, view is really helpful for people. So let's get specific now on some of the things that you're doing now that you're excited about. I know that CCM for Unreal is really so exciting, and would love to hear about that, and especially the applications for the video game industry.
Yeah, we're so excited about CCM for Unreal Engine, right? And our mission has been kind of increasing the intersection of computer graphics and geospatial, and bringing CCM to Unreal, I think, is a perfect example of that. What we've done is we've taken, the game engines, right, that have been being built for decades with really amazing performance, really high fidelity visual quality, and we've built a layer on top of Unreal Engine that allows the ingestion of real-world data with the accuracy, right? It's built on a WGS84 ellipsoid for the globe. And it can incrementally stream data based on where the viewer is. So you don't download the whole world when you zoom in to San Diego. You just get the San Diego part of the globe. And this combination of the ecosystems, right, this bridge between geospatial and gaming, I feel like we kind of made 10 years progress overnight, right? Because when you connect those two ecosystems, suddenly all this geospatial data is available to the folks using the game engines, then suddenly all this tooling that's available for the game engines is available to the geospatial community. So it's really been quite remarkable. And I think that, with the start of something really big there.
What's your timing on this? You've launched it?
We have, yes. So we launched it March 30th, so just a few months ago, so just kind of overwhelming interest along a variety of markets.
So I'm doing some nonprofit work in Panama. I work with a nature preserve called the Mamani Valley Preserve in Panama, and their website is geoversity.org, and there's a lot of they do all kinds of amazing things in the jungle, including a 12,000 acre nature preserve, and the video game for Avatar did a lot of training there and filming there. And that company is called Massive Entertainment. They're based in Sweden, I think. And so I keep thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder if they know about this, right? So there's a connection there that I can make for you. They're releasing the video games for all the Avatar movies, the second of which is coming out very soon, I believe, which is all underwater Avatar movie. It's just really exciting that when you say you've made 10 years progress overnight, this just sounds like something that these video gaming companies need to know about, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right? So our kind of initial interest for folks using game engines and Cesium 3D Geospatial was in the modeling and simulation community. Then we see a lot of interest in virtual video production and a variety of other enterprise use cases like AEC. As for gaming, I do see an amazing future, because when you look at gaming, there's so much of the effort that goes into making a game is in the content, right? Is in all of the characters as well as that environment, right? And anything that we can do to make building that virtual world, that virtual environment more efficient is really fantastic for gaming. And I think that we've started to build that bridge, that gap, right? Where this using scanned data from the real world will be able to be used in gaming. I still think there's more work to be done to get to the detail at that level that will be needed for gaming.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So this is also CCM for Unreal is OGC verified, right? And there's using a standard called 3D tiles. want to share more about that?
Sure. Yeah. So Cesium for Unreal streams in the 3D geospatial data, like the terrain and 3D buildings, using an OGC community standard called 3D Tiles. And back in 2015, we created 3D Tiles at Cesium as a way to stream this massive heterogeneous 3D geospatial data. And OGC was very interested in that and saw that as an emerging area. And we went through the community standard process to make an OGC community standard, really to help create awareness and create a community around that open standard to get a very healthy and grown ecosystem.
Oh, that's fantastic that you've actually contributed that standard to the OGC.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't know that. So you know, you guys have been so involved with the open source community, with open APIs, software, and standards, it's really creating the open metaverse, right? That's one of the things that you're really committed to. And I know earlier you spoke a little bit about that. You know that the impact on the world is important, and there's also this that's in part of the democratization of geospatial data, right? It's becoming more freely available for people in general, not necessarily experts, right? Not necessarily GIS experts or geospatial imagery analysts or whatever, to be able to use these incredible tools that tell us so much about the planet, about the Earth, about the terrain and different areas. I'd love for you to expand upon that a little bit. You know, this is the part that's so inspirational, I think, for people to hear more about why you care so much about that.
Yeah, so we see a lot of work nowadays towards the metaverse, towards, you know, a more immersive, collaborative, connected world that's potentially the future of the internet. And we see examples of that today with Fortnite and Roblox. And part of that future metaverse is this bridge between the physical and digital world. And Cesium, I think, is in a fantastic position to help provide that bridge. And it's funny because, you know, we've kind of been working on the metaverse for a decade, but I just realized it in the past 6 months. Right. And having this opportunity to bring all of this 3D geospatial data into a variety of those use cases, whether it's, as we see today, a lot for entertainment and gaming, but also for social and for the enterprise use cases. And then on the data side, we do see a lot of open data coming from, you know, federal, state, or local governments. And we think that's fantastic, and then that leads to a lot of innovation, a lot of uses of that data that maybe we didn't realize when we were collecting it, right? And Cesium being able to bring that into the 3D world, even for non-traditional GIS use cases, is quite inspiring.
That's great. I love that you mentioned Roblox and Fortnite and those kinds of things. It really does talk about connected. My son is 16 and he's currently obsessed with Roblox and trying to limit the number of minutes he's on Roblox, but for other reasons that we won't get into now, right? But I read something about Fortnite a couple of years ago that I think it was in New York Times Magazine, perhaps, that Fortnite is, I'm sure it's true for Roblox as well, some of these games they're providing a third place for teenagers or kids or whoever they are, 20, whoever the audience is, right? It's a place of belonging. It's like a new way for people to feel that they belong, even though they're online. And that's a fascinating concept to me, especially having gone through, you know, these global lockdowns and everything, when things are so challenging and we feel so, we are disconnected physically, but we can still be connected digitally, as long as we've got some boundaries around it, right? As I mentioned, I don't think that's good to be online, you know, 20 hours a day, but I really think that there are positive aspects to that. The third place, you may know, is kind of It's a trend. It's a thing that's identifiable as a place where you belong that is not your home, which is place number one, or your workspace, which is place number two. So interesting how the third place has actually taken on whole new meaning now with what we've been going through globally with the lockdowns.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've seen the same thing in my experience. And, you know, when I was growing up, I might, meet someone to go skateboarding at the park. And now it's very common that everyone will meet in Fortnite, right? And then when the lockdowns came, people would hang out in Fortnite, right? And I mean, they're still doing that. It's really amazing. And then from the geospatial perspective, right, we're excited to maybe one day folks will be playing something like Fortnite or Roblox using real world scanned data, right?
Right. I could see that transition. Yeah. And right this minute, my son is downstairs playing Roblox. And what makes it digestible for me, like even is that hopefully he's on with his two friends, right? And he's actually interacting with two people he knows in real life. And hopefully that's what they're doing. I'll be finding out in just a few minutes here.
I think it's fantastic. And beyond that third person or third place social experience, the other trend we see happening in the metaverse is the empowerment of creators, right? So growing up in high school, I would program video games using Turbo Pascal, a little bit of assembly and QBasic. Today, you see many more teenagers or even younger kids that are creating experiences using tools, maybe programming, or maybe tools available by Roblox or Fortnite Creator, or even something like Unreal Engine. So I think we're really creating or facilitating a lot of creativity in that metaverse world. I think that's really inspiring.
Oh, that's really terrific. That's awesome. I hope that's kind of one of the directions we end up going as well in my family. And I'll just mention about right before the lockdowns occurred, I had just started a new business that was co-working for, and it was called The Third Place here in Denver. And it was incredible. We loved it so much. You know, we're all independent business owners, and we came together and went to work and got to have a community of other people in this physical location in our office. And we ended up not, you know, when everybody's locked down, we ended up not keeping the business, of course, with everything that happened last year with people needing to work from home. But it was really incredible. And that's really what I learned about the concept of a third place. So it's really fun to talk about where that's going now and what's happening with it now. And yeah, this creator community is important as well. Very good. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, first, I appreciate once again the opportunity to chat with you. And I think we covered a good breadth of Cesium's vision and hopefully our contributions to the community. Then, you know, I do just want to emphasize when we think about the future of 3D geospatial and what the metaverse is. I mean, it's what we, you know, the community create, right? So Cesium hopes that we're empowering lots of software developers to build these future experiences.
That's a great point. Yeah. Thank you so much, Patrick. I really, really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk very soon. Okay.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, great job with everything. And I apologize again for the mic here.